As you return from spring break and gear up for the final quarter of the school year, I imagine many of you, like me, have at least one or all of the following items occupying your thoughts: spring recitals and awards, year-end meetings and evaluations, summer offerings, and policy changes for the next school term. There are a lot of things that hit us over the head all at once this time of year. Last week, in our first ICYMI, that is, In Case You Missed It, episode, I shared a resource you might find useful for your spring recital and awards. In the coming weeks, I plan on sharing some details on my own studio offerings and policy tweaks for the summer and next school term. And today, I want to talk a little about the year-end meeting and evaluation portion of our spring madness. Putting together formal student evaluations can be very time-consuming. As a proponent of never being stuck in one way of doing things and always rethinking various aspects of life and business, this is one area that has evolved a little bit every single year. If you like the idea of evaluations but struggle with the time required to craft them, I'm here to offer one possible solution that might help streamline and simplify the process. By the way, I'm Amy Chaplin, and this is episode 115 of the Piano Pantry podcast. If we first consider the meaning of the term, when we conduct an evaluation, it's about using methods and measures to judge student learning and understanding. In my first year of teaching, I used an actual evaluation chart with items like pitch, rhythm, steady beat, and so forth, and then had numbers 1 to 10 where I ranked how a student was doing in each area. The next year, I moved to a 5-point scale and included a more specific rubric with verbiage describing the ratings. I also started listing student achievements, like the number of pieces they had learned, the number they memorized, recitals and festivals they participated in, and so forth. At the time, I used Evernote to write these evaluations and even detailed it in a blog post on the Piano Pantry blog called Writing Student Evaluations Using Evernote. After using that format for several years, I saw someone on Instagram post a picture of a beautiful piano progress report that looked like a resume with the student's photo, a list of skills, and future goals. I put together this elaborate template of verbiage where I could just cut and paste statements into each student's report. For example, I started a list for notes, and I might have 4 statements that I could pull from. 1, student can name and play notes between bass F and treble G. Student can name and play notes between bass C and treble C. Student can name and play notes between low F and high G. Or student can name and play notes on the grand staff, including notes with up to 3 ledger lines. So I had all of these can-do statements that I would then just cut and paste into their piano progress report. It was certainly an impressive report, both from the perspective of the time, attention, and detail I put into them, and for highlighting many specific student skills that they had. I was really proud of them, but also quite exhausted. After doing these for 3 years, I kept feeling this little inkling inside of me asking, "So what? Is this really time well spent?" 2 years ago, I started adding an element into these final meetings where not only did I briefly go over that report with families and talk about what goals we might have for the next year, but I started showing a few video clips of students playing over the past few years and highlighting things in the students' playing verbally, such as, "Hey, notice that in this video they're using both hands, but one hand moves a lot more than the other, and in this video from the next year, the student had a lot more movement happening between the hands." I'm not going to lie, this was a brilliant addition to the year-end meeting, so much so that I shared it with you in episode 21 of this podcast called A Simple, Effective, and Magical Element for Student Evaluations. It was even awarded a replay spot in episode 67, which I named Year-End Meetings Made Easy. After 3 years of writing piano progress reports in Canva, I was ready to rethink that aspect of year-end meetings for this school year. The videos will stay, but my big question to myself was, why am I talking about some of these things as if it were a grade card at a point in the year when there's not a big chance of making an impact or for families to adjust? I mean, around half of my students don't take summer lessons, although that's probably going to change this year with some of my policy changes. But in my experience, summertime doesn't seem to be a time when families can kick in a better practice schedule. If you think about school systems, they don't hold parent-teacher conferences the last week of school. They hold them mid-semester. So there's room to adjust and react to needs and goals. Duh. Why has it taken me so long to make parallels to this? So here's how I'm rethinking what I used to call evaluations this year. First of all, again, I'm no longer using the word evaluations, which is why it's in quotes in the title of this episode. Because the solution I came up with removes formal written evaluations altogether. I took a step forward in that when I started calling them a piano progress report a couple of years ago. The lesson I learned from sharing videos with families for the past 2 years is that it's a lot easier to verbalize a few notable skills in the moment than to sit down and write a formal report. So I'm bringing this process to what I call a new parent check-in observation week. One of the reasons I always held parent evaluation meetings is that I believed in the importance of meeting face-to-face with parents at least once a year. So the week before spring break is now designated on the studio calendar as parent check-in /observation week. It hits right in the middle of the longer second semester at a point when students are working on recital pieces, and at approximately 6 weeks before the recital, it's a good time to touch base with parents face-to-face. So what does this look like? At first, I thought I would just encourage them to drop in at the start of the lesson for a quick verbal check-in, but after more thought, I quickly realized that I really wanted the parent to come and observe the lesson live so I could share things with them throughout the lesson. In essence, I wanted to highlight skills the student was working on while we were working on them. It was very informal, and I didn't even make any plans ahead of time. I just tried to take the opportunity during at least 2 to 3 points during the lesson to verbalize different kinds of things like, for example, this recital piece is actually a pretty challenging piece for Jade as her hands are moving a lot more simultaneously. Or, Erin has been struggling to use the pedal smoothly this year, but I'm definitely seeing an improvement. Legato pedaling is tricky because the foot doesn't move at the same time as the hand necessarily, and then I could have the student demonstrate. This might also be a good time to explain to the parent what it looks like to make sure the student is placing their bench in a good position at home. Or another example would be, so Dan has been coming to lessons with his theory pages completed every week, and I really appreciate that. I always assigned at least one page minimum so they build a habit of doing it each week. Just a heads up that I usually tell all of my students that the best time to complete them is right after the lesson so that they get it done and ready to go for next week and it's not forgotten. But he's been doing great and I've not hardly ever have to remind him. My last example is Jack is starting to play pieces with larger intervals, meaning that the hand has to move beyond its natural relaxed state to reach notes a little further away. We've been playing some games and lessons to help him recognize these new intervals more quickly, which is about what we're going to do right now. And so on and so forth. There's tons of examples I could give you here. Please know that these little interjections that I share with parents are quick and to the point. And once I share them, I just turn right back to the student and continue on with the lesson. Before the students and parents leave, I gave them a quick verbal reminder about the 2 weeks of spring break shutdown and then how many lessons that they'll see when they return before the recital. That way the parent is aware of where the student is and their progress in preparing for the recital piece. There's a lot more details I could share with you about this process and questions that may arise. So what I've decided to do for you today is create a free email template download That's going to be available in the show notes that you can use when organizing your own Parent Observation Week. It answers facts such as, does the parent need to do anything besides attend? What if they cannot stay for the whole lesson? What if they're not available at all that day? Does a student need to prepare anything? If both parents are involved in lessons, do they both need to come? If they have more than one student, does the parent need to attend both lesson times? And lastly, do they need to let you know whether they're able to come or not? So all of these points are covered in this email template, and you can use the text as a starting point for crafting your own plan and email to studio families. I enjoyed this new addition to my studio a lot this year, so much so that I'm considering doing one in early October as well. As for the final week of the school year, when I used to do what were called formal evaluations, I definitely still plan on having a parent be at that last lesson week, and I still plan on connecting and talking about the year and pulling out two or three videos for them to see the students' progress over the years. However, I'm not planning on doing any written formal evaluations or reports anymore. This year, I'm actually going to try an idea from Rosemary Penner at mustlovemusic.ca on conducting what's called a student-led conference. In these parent conferences, the student and teacher work together for a couple of weeks leading up to the meeting to determine a couple of items for the student to teach the parent on the piano. Rosemary has a resource I downloaded and am going to use to help me walk through the process this first year. We'll see how it goes from there. I just love trying new things. Besides the student-parent teaching moment and the video highlights, I'm sure we will also chat about goals and plans for the upcoming year. If you've never had a designated time to meet with your studio parents, I strongly encourage you to consider doing so at least once a year. I've always found it to be a rewarding time for all around. Thanks for being here, everyone, and showing up week after week. As usual, you can find everything mentioned in today's episode, along with a full transcript, at pianopantry.com/podcast/episode115. I would love to hear how your year-end meetings look with families, and if you've ever run a parent observation week. Be sure and connect with me on Facebook at Piano Pantry or on Instagram at Piano Pantry Amy. If you want to connect with me via email, visit pianopantry.com/subscribe. If you're free tomorrow, Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024, I'll be hosting our free monthly Power Hour, where you can log in with a group of teachers on Zoom and be accountable to stay on task and get some work done together, whether that's writing emails, planning lessons, practicing piano, or preparing taxes last minute. Been there, done that. Grab the link to sign up for that in the show notes as well. I hope to see you there.